looking back there at the Masseys and Jacob and Tanya. I was trying to do something cool on the phone, and it stopped, and I was going to send out a message. And so I did the live thing, and Jacob or Tanya, I don't know which one, popped up and said, "Hey, preacher," and I tried to respond. If you're trying to do six things at one time, something's not going to work well. Nod your head if you believe that, except for all you moms. You can do six things at one time. I'm talking about men. And so I tried to do it. I ended up breaking the live stream, and it's all your fault. I was thinking about that. So I did another one, and people were saying hi, and I was like, ignored them. So if you were saying hi and I blew you off, that was because I had broken the first one because of, I blame it on Jacob. But anyway, some of you are like, "I don't know what you're talking about. Don't worry about it. It's okay." But anyway, that's why I was chuckling. I wasn't laughing at Dallas. I was laughing at them, chuckling at them. 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. Stand with us if you're willing and able. We pay honor to God and His Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 15. The Bible says, "But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That's old word lifestyle. "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." It is written about 9 places that way in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. That's the long version. Verse chapter 20 of Leviticus, verse 7, the Bible says, "Sanctify therefore yourselves, set apart yourselves, be holy," in other words, "and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." Peter is not done with this theme. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, you'll see it on the screen there. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" And I want to help us with that idea found particularly here in 1 Peter chapter 1, this letter that Peter is writing, this lesson he's learned the hard way, of integrating the character of God and the character of our lives, and we need to be holy people, personal holiness. And I've entitled it Being Revived, Restoring What Was Broken. I think you'll understand the title as we get into the message. Would you pray with me right now, front to back and side to side, up and down, all those folks that are watching or will watch, would you pray with me? Father, speak to our hearts. Help me to preach your word with power and authority. I pray that you be honored this morning. I pray that nothing be said, Lord, that be misconstrued, but it be spoken in the power of your Spirit. I pray that you'd help me enunciate well. Lord, I'm a little tired, and Lord, I don't want to slur my words. And I pray that you'd help me to observe the time, not because what we're doing is unimportant, but because we really want to focus on our time of communion. And so help us there. Lord, I need you this morning. Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. Be honored and exalted, I ask. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name. And amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Has anybody ever had anything that was broken? Anybody ever had anything broken? Anybody ever had a broken appliance? Broken appliance? A few of you? Where's Glenda? Didn't you break a washer? Where's Glenda? Oh, she's back there. She's already left. Fine. And, no, they're doing the offering. Anybody have broken appliance? Anybody ever have a car breakdown? Andre and I have traveled up and down Highway 40 so much, we actually pause everywhere we've broken down on Highway 40. We do. We broke down on Christmas Day at this place. And we went by there this week, and we broke down, and we just like, there we sat with 2 screaming children. And no bathroom and no water. You know, if you're not planning to break down, it's inconvenient. Is everybody with me here? You know, and a bunch of Christmas presents in the back. We just sat there. Thankfully, at that point, we had a cell phone in our lives. But anyway, that would have been odd, knocking on somebody's door like Mary and Joseph. Have you got room in the inn for 4 of us? But anyway, we've done that. I broke down beside the Mississippi before one time. That was a lot of fun. Or the Missouri rather, and that was a lot of fun. You broke down. Anybody besides me, if you go to Walmart or Target or grocery store, you get the cart with the broken wheel. Anybody ever do that? How many of you can find it? I mean, everybody else is driving straight, but you got the one that's... Anybody? A few of you? Some of you don't shop. You just only get the basket. How many of you have your groceries delivered? I'm looking back there. Brittany has her groceries delivered. And so I'm kidding. You're there? How many of you keep tools that are broken? Anybody, you keep a tool that works every now and then? I'm looking back there. Brother Wells, you got like six mowers. You know, anybody, I'm teasing. Anybody, you got tools that you keep that are sort of broken? They work sometimes, don't work sometimes? Yeah, Kevin's got a wall of fame. I'm sorry. I'm saying this, and I'm remembering who has some of this stuff you've told me. It's kind of humorous there. It's kind of humorous. We've worked through things and all. We recently had the gray van worked on, and we had a battery put in it, and we had new terminals and all that, and then it just kept dying. It kept messing up, and people were in it and threw it and checking fuses and took it back to them. They said, "Oh, you just left the light on. You can come get it." Well, I came the next day. I was like, "Well, man, this is great." You know, four folks with about 6 degrees went through this thing, and nobody saw there was a light on. And he says, "I should have called you." He said, it's not that. It's something else." And I said, "Oh," and I felt really good that it was something really bad. Nod your head if you're with me. And then they kept on. And anyway, time to find out it was this, and they fixed it. And I said, "Did it take you 4 days to fix it?" "No, but we waited every day to make sure it cranked and ran because we weren't going to call you and tell you it was fixed again." I said, "Well, I really appreciate that. We're here, and we've done that. We've done that." I lived most of my, all through my teen years and all through my college years before I ever broke anything. I was in an automobile accident, and I broke my shoulder, and I broke my elbow. I, more importantly, broke my eating elbow. My eating elbow. Nod your head if there's a difference between this, you know, if you're right-handed, this I can eat, but I'm not as good with it. But this one, I'm an expert. I'm a gold medal eater with my dominant hand, and I broke that. I broke that, and I was in a sling and all. And then they didn't set my arm. They said it'll just have to heal. And then when it got done, my arm had set up like this. So I go to physical therapy, and those people are evil. No, they're not. And I go to physical therapy, and they have to basically re-break my arm. How many of you thought that was a fun day? Fun day. And they got to stretch it out. And I can bend this one, hyperflex it. I can't hyperflex this one. And I have an arm that is fixed, but it's still just a little broken. A little broken. A friend of mine, his son was in karate and stuff and wore out his shoulder. And they actually put, he's actually got metal pin and actually a kind of like steel rope in there to reinforce things. We know what it is. We know what it is to be broken. We know what it is to keep stuff that is broken. We know what it is to have stuff that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. How many of you are glad that you have blood pumping in your body? Anybody besides me? I think that's a good idea. How many of you are not real happy if the blood starts pumping on the outside of your body? Something is broken. And we're looking at this idea here, and I want to remind you a couple things. I want to remind you that most of us go through life broken. Most of us go through life broken. Most of us go through life broken. We go through life broken, and then we ask for more things that make us more broken than we were before. We go through life broken. I'm convinced the thousands of people that I saw this week and the thousands and thousands of people at the ball games yesterday, that these are people that are broken. And instead of getting something to help them, everything they try and bring in their life just makes them more broken. My dad, we used to accuse him of fixing things with a hammer. Anybody besides me know that's not always the fix it for some things. You know, just bang on it, kick it, and then beat it and all. Eventually, you hit something hard enough and long enough the hammer, you will what? You will disintegrate. You will smash it to smithereens. Typically, we do what? That's what we do in life. We do in life. Man, this is broken. It's not working right. We'll just hit it harder. Hit it harder. Well, I ran over it. Well, you know, maybe if we run over it again, we'll fix it. And, you know, it's that kind of weird, crazy thinking here. People say, well, you know, this is not working. Well, let's just go harder. Let's just go faster. I'm reminded of the story of the bullet train there in France. And they found out that NASA has this supersonic chicken gun. I mean, you heard this. And NASA, because when they re-enter in the shuttle, they have to be able to simulate a bird strike at supersonic speed. And so they've got a gun that will shoot chickens at the space shuttle at these high-velocity speeds to determine whether or not that the space shuttle can take a bird strike. I mean, you think that's got to be the coolest job ever, flinging chickens at a space shuttle. And so they do this. So they said, can we bar it? And they barred it. And they called about 3 weeks later. And they said, no matter what we do, no matter what we do, nothing can stand up to your gun. What have you made the space shuttle out of that's so much stronger than the bullet train? And they got to talk. And they said, well, your things are all in spec. And they should happen. And then one of them got the thing. And they said, are you using frozen chickens? Well, sure, we didn't want them to spoil. I mean, you think it doesn't really matter to a chicken if you hit something at 17,000 miles an hour with it. They were shooting frozen chickens and broke windshield after windshield after windshield of the new bullet train there. And come to find out, if a chicken is frozen, nothing can survive it at 17,000 miles an hour but a fresh chicken. And so they kind of laughed. That's what we do, isn't it? Hey, I want to just hit me. We're just beating all to pieces here. I suggest to you that that's what's going on in our lives. People take more pills. They take more booze. They do more sex outside of marriage, more profanity, more lies, more blasphemy, thinking it'll help. And instead, it just makes them more broken and more broken and more broken. I got news for you. We ought to pray for Harvey Weinstein and all the people that are coming out now and all the stuff that's going on, all the women that he abused, they're broken. Let me help you. He's broken too. That's a broken man trying to solve his brokenness with being more broken. And all those actors who are coming out now, and it isn't done yet, by the way, and people are looking down their nose at him. And the thing that really kills me is they keep making movies that honor and glorify that behavior somebody does in real life, and everybody gets upset about it. That's craziness. It's all brokenness. It's all brokenness. Stand at the door on a Friday afternoon and watch the people cart out all the things that are going to make them more and more and more broken. I contend this morning, write this down, that holiness is essential for happiness. Being right with God and living right for God is essential for happiness. I want to prove that to you. Holiness is essential for happiness. We don't think that. People that flooded downtown nightclubs last night do not believe that. The people that didn't know where they were when they woke up this morning do not believe that. People that could be in the house of God this morning but did not, probably do not believe that. Holiness is essential for happiness. Most people go through life broken and then ask for more stuff to make them more and more and more and more broken. I think if we're going to understand holiness, we've got to understand these three areas. Let me set the table for you. If you're taking some notes here, number one, you got to understand who you are. If I say the name Stephen Paddock, does anybody know who that is? How many of you, that sounds familiar, you just can't quite place him? If I say the Las Vegas shooter, does everybody know who I'm talking about now? That's a guy's name, Stephen Paddock. He's still a mystery. There's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. I hope none of them are right because the conspiracy theories scare me half to death. Stephen Paddock decided as he took stuff in, and let me help you. I've been to trade shows, different places. I've been to conventions. Guys coming in with a bunch of luggage would not stick out. I hate that. They just would not stick out. He probably didn't raise an eyebrow. But here's this guy, and he has done the unthinkable. He has helped injure over 500 people. All those people that were fatalities. The one young lady has woken up from her coma, so thank the Lord there. She woke up from her coma, but her house burned in the fire, in the wildfires out in California. If I say to you, who's a bad person? If I give you the choice between Stephen Paddock, the security officer that he shot, or the policeman who finally breached the room, stormed in, and ended the reign of terror, and ended his life. How many of you are going to pick the police people? You're going to say those are the bad people. Anybody going to do that? I'm going to say the security guard who got shot because he heard the disturbance. Anybody going to pick him? How many of you are going to pick Stephen Paddock? How many of you are going to say Stephen Paddock was a bad person, bad man? I mean, a few of you. How many of you are not going to raise your hand even if I'm giving away free food? Is that it? Let me help you with something. Stephen Paddock committed bad actions. The police people, bad people. Security guard, is a bad person. Stephen Paddock, It's a bad person. They prove it to him. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've got this thing where we think there are good people and there are bad people. Wrong. There are bad people. We are all fallen and sinners. If you'll allow me, we are all broken by sin and sinful choices. The difference between us and Stephen Paddock is we've not acted on our urges. We've been restrained by either the Spirit of God or the teaching of the Scripture. But we are all wicked and sinful and depraved people. See, when you understand holiness, you got to understand who you are. Say, I don't like that. I'm sorry you don't like it, but it's just Bible. Just Bible. We all stand in need of a Savior. God's not trying to fix bad people. He's not trying to put super glue on broken people. God has come to transform your life. You got to understand who you are. You got to understand who God is. You got to understand who God is. I gave you some of these verses here. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. God says, my name is holiness. Leviticus 27. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall sanctify yourselves and you will be holy, for I am holy. Verse 45. For I am the Lord that brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You will therefore be holy, for I am holy. There's at least 9 more occasions in the Old Testament. There are similar thoughts about 30 times. You start running through the New Testament, you find it over and over and over. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You understand who God is? Somebody says, well, I don't think God cares about that. I get the sentiment, but I think it's lunacy. If you want to say the Bible doesn't address that, you and I can have a discussion. But if you just think, well, I don't think God really cares about that. The variation of that in the millennials right now is, well, all you need is love. Or everybody all deserves a chance to be happy. I get what you're saying, but you're just adding more brokenness to more brokenness. You're just adding more brokenness to more brokenness. You're just taking a hammer and saying, I realize you have a broken thumb. Let me hit it a little harder and that'll fix it. Let me hit it a little harder and that'll fix it. You got this drug problem. You got this morality problem. You got this profanity problem. Let me teach you some new curse words here. You blaspheme God once a day. Let's try and blaspheme God 5 times a day. And we kind of fix the broken. You got to understand who God is. We try and orient our services to honor a holy God. We try and teach our young people, teach ourselves. We try and stay in the Word because God is holy. We want to please Him. It's not who I think God is. It's not what I think about God. It's what God has said about Himself in the Word of God. That is what matters. We call it the self-revelation of God. Well, I think this. Well, I feel that. And that's all fine. But it doesn't matter. All you're telling me is what you think and what you feel. I'm interested in what the Bible says. And the Bible says who God is and that He is holy. He is without sin. He's absolutely morally pure. He is greater than anything I can ask or think. You got to understand who God made you to be. You got to understand who God made you to be. See, you are not made to be broken. You are not made to be broken. Adam and Eve were created perfect in the Garden of Eden, without sin, innocent before God. You were not made to be broken. Somewhere around 3:30 today, as many of you that can, we're going to walk around a bunch of people and serve them hot dogs and fill up their water and give them some chips, a piece of watermelon or fruit. And every one of them were not made to be broken. For the hundreds of people that will walk through this campus next Saturday, Lord willing, not a one of them was made to be broken. For everyone who's walked through these doors since January 1st, who is in a world of hurt right now, I scream at them. You were not made to be broken. God did not make you to fall. He did not make you to be broken by sin. You were made in His image. You were made to correspond to Him. You were made to love Him. Let me help you. God's not trying to fix you. See, the world's trying to give you a fixed, broken you. All the afternoon shows, all the magazines, all the little pop psychology, they're just trying to fix what's broken. They're trying to add another wheel onto the shopping cart that's there. They're trying to add a new feature onto the drill that doesn't work. They're trying to give you a different plug or a different voltage for something where the motor is gone. They're just trying to do this. You know, you're a fallen and broken. You cannot be well and healed inside of yourself. I don't care how much you love yourself. I don't care how many pep talks you do. They made fun. Saturday Night Live years ago made fun. And the guy ended up being a United States Senator. Go figure, Al Franken. He said, "You're good enough, you're smart enough, and you're handsome enough." And we all laugh because we know that's just baloney. And some of you are going, "I am handsome enough," and I'm looking at Jason. And but we know that doesn't work, doesn't satisfy the soul. See, you're fallen. You are broken. And God is offering you something different. He's not offering to fix you. He's offering you a brand new you. He's offering you a new heart. He's offering you a new life. He's offering you a new relationship. He's offering to forgive you, to have you reconciled that's there. We talk about awkwardness. Anybody ever been in an awkward situation? Anybody ever been in a meal or something or family situation? Anybody ever been in a wedding and the warring party's there and then the other party's there and you don't want to sit with either one of them? You're like, I just came for the desserts. And, you're just kind of weird. There's no awkwardness here. God said, "I loved you so much, I sent my son to die for you, and I am offering you new life. I'm offering you a new heart. I'm offering you a new start. I'm offering you something that nobody else can do. I'm not offering to give you a better version of you. I'm offering you new you." Say, "Prove it to me." There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new temple. There's going to be a new sun, new moon. All these things are going to be recreated. Why? Because they've been broken by sin and by our fallenness. There's going to be a day come when He will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. There's going to be no more sadness, no sorrow, no pain. Hey, wait for it. There's going to get new bodies. Say, "Am I going to look like you, preacher?" Maybe not. I think we'll look like us, but I think we'll look like perfect versions of us. Perfect versions of us. There'll be no more cancer, no more heart disease. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more effects and consequences of sin. All these things, God is offering this to you. One of the things I think we need to be revived about is we understand that God wants to do what? God wants to do this in our hearts and our lives. He wants us to understand what it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away." Greek there, past, punctiliar. It's got a fixed point, a new line coming out from "all things are becoming present active in there, becoming new. They are constantly renewing." I said it several times. If you is what you was, then you ain't. There's a change that's there. You may still struggle with some things, but when you struggle now, you feel awful about them. God just rips your heart apart. People notice it around you. You notice it around you. Priorities change. "Therefore, if any man's in Christ, these things are changed." Say, how can I do this? May I offer you a few practical things and let me be done. Be done. Still with me? Say amen. Amen. Let me give you some ideas here. Number one, listen. Listen to His Word. Listen to His Word. You can't listen to a Bible you don't read. You can't listen to a Bible when you are not around when it is being preached. You cannot do the things that you are supposed to do. When you isolate yourself from the Scriptures, you are opening yourselves up to the attack of the devil. And it may start with apathy. And then it's indifference and apathy and ignorance, and then you're in a world of hurt. The old preacher came and visited the member who'd not been in many months. It was the winter time. They sat by a fireplace. The man wasn't happy to see the pastor. The pastor was sad that he had to go visit. They sat there in the two recliners by the fireplace, not saying a word. The pastor got up, grabbed the fire tongs, reached in and grabbed the ember, so the story goes, and laid it there on the fireplace hearth. They sat there as the sun went down, and as the ember once glowed red hot, turned slowly, slowly, dimmer and dimmer until it turned to a cool ash. The man who he'd come to see, who'd been out of God's house and away from God's Word, with tears in his eyes, say, "I understand what you're trying to say. I'll be there." There's nobody here that can survive without listening to the Word of God. Say, I want to please God. I want to be holy. I want to do what I'm supposed to. I want to honor Him. You need to listen to His Word. You need to read God's Word. You need to be where it's being preached. Be under the sound of the preached Word of God. You can't listen to one you don't read, and you can't listen to when you're not around to hear it when it's preached. You need to be there. We make as much allowance as we can for people who have opportunities and obstacles. We record things. We push it online. We have it as a podcast. We send out as an email. Anything and everything we can do. Why? Because I believe so sincerely in this that it's a must. You need to, number two, you need to love God and obey Him. You need to love God and obey Him. God created you to be in relationship with Him, to love His Son, to obey Him. He created you to do this. You say, preacher, you haven't talked a whole lot about b-b-b-b-b-b. You know why? Because you can do b-b-b-b-b-b. And because you don't love Him, you're not interested in obeying Him. Prove it to me. Anybody here remember being grade school, high school? Anybody remember wearing long, it changed a lot of things. Anybody remember wearing long pants when it was really hot outside of school? Anybody? What's the first thing you did when you got home? Change clothes, amen. Change clothes. Anybody, you have to dress a different way at work and you get home, first thing you do is kick off your shoes and change clothes. Anybody like that? Anybody's last name's not Holloman? I know the Hollomans do. I mean, you're like, I wore this to work yesterday. I feel good. We get home, do that. Our house, man, if we had a fire, we'd have to avoid the front door because as soon as we walk in, everybody's kicking their shoes off. You know, it's a death trap trying to get out of. I'd say that, smile on my face. Why? Made me do this. I get home, I'm going to put on what I want to put on. See, if you really believe that you wait till you get married, that's a way to be happy. If you really believe that blaspheming God is dead-end road, if you really believe that stealing from your employer or not giving an honest day's work is a bad idea, and that to do what you were meant to do instead of being broken is a way to be happy, and all of a sudden, because I love the Son of God, I want to do what's right. See, you were not meant to be broken. Broke my shoulder, broke my elbow. They'd walked up to me with a hammer and said, I'm about to fix you, I'd have ran. But that's what we do all the time. I'm just as broken as I can be. Give me a little more. Just broken as I can be. Psh, psh. Goop, goop, goop. Psh. As broken as I can be. Let me bed down somebody else. Let me steal something else. Let me lie about something else. Let me blaspheme something else. I'm having a hard time in a relationship. Let me take in more porn. Just broken being more broken. We love God. God created you to be in relationship with Him, to love Him, to obey His Son. John chapter 14, verse 23, I'm done. Jesus answered, said to him, If any man love me, he will keep my words. He will do what? And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what you're supposed to. The Bible says it like this. The Bible says there are three ideas here. There's positional holiness. When you are saved, I am now right with God. We're called a saint of His, a holy one. I am positionally holy. I am a new member of the new family of Almighty God. There's practical holiness. So what do you mean by that? That means that I now have the power to do what's right. I don't have to sin anymore. Romans chapter 6, that I am now free from the bondage of my sin, the slave of my sin. And then one day it's going to be perfect holiness. One day. It's going to be amazing. New body, new heaven, new earth. I'll never say I'm sorry anymore. One day I'll be able to stand before God because He has given me His righteousness, and I will no longer be broken in any way or fashion or form. That's a pretty amazing thought, isn't it? Amen. So in between the moment of salvation, position of holiness, and the day that God takes me home or that I die and he gives me and everything is different, I get to grow in his love and his holiness. Say, I really love God. If you really love God, you ought to really live right. You say you love God and do not keep his commandments. 1 John says what? You make him a liar. The truth is not in it. Say, I am having a hard time in that middle area. That's what our elders are for. That's what our counselors are for. See, I know people who are struggling in this area. Boy, would you pray for them this morning? They got a broken limb and they're just whamming it with a hammer. See, I really care about them. I really care about them. Then man, I want to pray for them. I want to ask God to help them and to be with them and to work in their hearts and their lives. I think we need to have a revival about restoring what has been broken. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed. Our heads are bowed. Would you prepare your heart? Prepare your heart